Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for bringing us together again. We pray that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you not curse us and allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord, and you may please be seated. Hallelujah. Well, before I preach, I have the honor and the privilege to introduce a brother, a friend, and a fellow minister to you this morning. Amen. I have known him for how many years? 20 years? Very, very long time. He used to live in England. I think one of the churches the first church I preached in England was your church in Plaistow in England. He has been a pastor in England for many, many years. He's started a few churches in England also, Ascendria and all of that. Very, very anointed man of God. When we were getting ready to move out of Europe, that's when he was coming from England to continental Europe to do missions work. So he was sent from London to Hamburg, Germany. And then he planted a church in Hamburg, Germany, a church that is working up to today. He trained some wonderful people. One of the people he trained is Lady Pastor Ida's husband. He trained Pastor Kwame Pazzi in the ministry. And then he was moved from Hamburg, Germany to Frankfurt, Germany, the home base of Lufthansa. And he was there, started a church. Church is working. And then he's getting old. So we decided to send him away from all the nice things he's experiencing. So Bishop sent him again to the islands, British Virgin Islands, Tortola. So I've been talking about Tortola, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, a brother, a friend, and a fellow minister, Reverend Ebenezer Sam Ohin. Come and say hello, brother. Put your hands together for him as he comes to say hello without this jacket.
Thank you. Please, sir. Thank you. You may be seated. Wow. This pulpit is very strong. There's a strong anointing here. It's reserved for special men like this. Amen. Like he said, he's been a very good friend when he was in Amsterdam. How many know he used to live in Amsterdam? Yeah, he was very European, you know. Lived in Amsterdam, I used to go and visit him. You know, in a church, we are a body, we are one. We do everything together. And I believe that God has brought us onto a great place. Amen. And the Father that God has given us and is giving us this opportunity to do such a great work for him. I would just encourage you this time that let's all get together into it. Because the things that Bishop is doing, Bishop Doug, he would like all of us to be doing the same thing. So I remember in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 6, saying that, you know, Moses should gather the 70 elders, and I would take the spirit that is upon them and put it on you. So they bear the burden together and not alone. I believe that the work that Bishop Doug is doing is that Bishop Doug would love to live in Guyana, Georgetown himself. How many would like to see him? Yeah. But unfortunately, he has to be training more other people to be doing that thing, so he cannot be here. So he has sent this most, we used to call him the most handsome pastor in the whole Lighthouse. I'm the one holding the mic. I'm the one on the platform. The most, until, you know, I came in the scene, then he was no more the handsome pastor. Hallelujah. You know, so now he's also bearing the work in this part of the world, and we are so blessed to have him doing such a wonderful work in Guyana and many of the Caribbean countries. In fact, when I was coming to Totola, he flew all the way to meet me in the BVI and stayed a week with me before I got lost. He came to order my steps. Amen. So we thank God for such a great man, Reverend Colin Sasabe. And I will encourage you to, whatever you are doing, you found yourself doing, keep on doing it and God will bless you. Thank you.
Reverend Ebenezer Sam O'Hare. Charlie, he's very, very powerful. I tell him all the time, I have more hair than him. Yeah, we are doing hair competition these days. And I always beat him. It's a very, very good brother. He's going to be with us for a little while. Don't miss Tuesday service. He's going to preach very, very powerfully Tuesday evening. Amen. So make sure you are here Tuesday. Have a wonderful time with Reverend Ebenezer Sam. He'll be traveling around to minister in some of our churches also. I'll send him to London. He'll go by the bus 43. Amen. All right, we're looking at the art of ministry. This is the last week, isn't it? Yeah. We're doing 6 weeks of teaching and ministering about the work of God. Is that watch correct? Is the time correct? Is my time faster? Mine is faster. Ah, okay. It's almost the same. So it's what? 47. Mine is 58. What? Okay, but it makes things go faster because Pastor Leon was trying to thief time. All right, so this is the last week we're looking at the art of ministry. If you don't have a copy, even though we are ending today, you still need a copy. Amen. It is a very, very important book. It's a book that speaks to us about the work of the ministry. And that is basically what we are here for. Remember, we're saying that when God created the heavens and the earth, Adam didn't have to go anywhere from 8 to 5. You didn't say amen. Yes. So if you go somewhere from 8 to 5, it's not God's plan for your life. If you have to go from somewhere at night, I see Moeva's in the church from her night duty or something. That's not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life is that you work for him. The ministry is the most important place to be. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 as we take off. Have we finished the difference between secular work and spiritual work? Secular work and the work of the ministry? Did we finish that? Pharaoh? Four stages. Did we finish that? We did, isn't it? Yeah, okay. So the Bible said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now, one of the things that you will understand is that every ministry have their emphasis. Somebody say emphasis. When you say emphasis, what you mean is that every church has some part of God's purpose that they emphasize on. Because God has a lot of things about him. You can't take God and say, this is the only thing that God wants. Like some people take God and they say, oh, it's only Saturday that you must go to church. Is that it? It's good to see you. We miss you, Pa. Where's Mr. Lambert? He didn't come today. Ha. You can't take out Sabbath day and say, oh, all that God talks about, or all that God wants is Sabbath. No, God is bigger than Sabbath. But you see, the churches of God, when God calls a man, he gives him a particular mission. When God called Moses, he gave him a mission to take the people of Israel from Egypt to Canaan. Moses was not asked to build any church. He wasn't asked to build any orphanage. He wasn't asked to feed any poor. He was just asked to take the people away from Egypt to Canaan. Noah was called to just build an ark and just be in the ark and wait until it starts to rain. You can't go and tell Noah that, how come you're a pastor and you're feeding the poor? How come there's poor people in your church and you're giving them no money? Because emphases are different. If you join a church, you have to now adapt and change your mindset to how the church works. Otherwise, you'll be living in a house and you'll be fighting with the pastor. You'll be fighting with the church. You'll be saying, why is the church not doing this? The church I go, they don't believe in this. They don't do this. So that's why I stopped. But it is not what you believe in that the church must do. You must rather acclimatize to the church. That's why when you change church, it's not such a very simple thing to change churches. Changing churches is like changing wives. Yeah, women are a little different, but they are the same. Jewel, I'm sure. Yeah. You see them, some are a lot tall, some are, you know, chubby, some are fine, some are fair, some are dark, all kinds of things. But it's the same breast and same vagina. Oh, Reverend, and they are women. They came from man. Only Pastor Mary, is it not true? Yeah. The same B and V. Yeah. Oh, Pastor Roberto, you don't like these things. You like these things, okay. Mona Lisa. Yeah. Ayo, it's the same thing, oh. But the appearance is very, very, you know, diverse and different. Some have more hair, some have less hair. Some have some no hair. Some have what? Brazilian hair, Guyanese hair, Peruvian hair. Some don't have hair at all. Some have human hair. So I'm just trying to tell you that the emphases are very different. And therefore, when you come into a church like ours, our emphasis is also different. I met a nice guy yesterday. Very, very nice guy. Interesting guy. You know, it was very, very nice talking to him. I was talking to him about church and all of that. And he said, you know what? He's had bad experiences with church and he doesn't want to go to church anymore. And one of the things he was saying was that, can you believe that he was in a church, the pastor changes his vehicles. Meanwhile, there are people who come to the church with rubber slippers. Jamal. Rubber slippers. And that's why, how can the pastor not, you know, do something for the poor people? So he ain't going back to the church no more. I laughed. I said, this guy, if he's in my church, he will change his mind. Otherwise, he will leave the church. Because the man's mission is probably not to put shoes on people's feet. Now, should he listen to you, the church member? Or he should listen to the one who has called him to be a soldier? Think about it. And that's sometimes the ignorance that many people show in going to a church and they say, oh, is this, why the pastor doing so? Why is this? We emphasize a lot on giving and tithing and all of that because we use money to do a lot of things. I don't know about other churches, but if you are in some of our churches, it's a very dynamic, progressive organization that you cannot do without money. And the Bible says that if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And here, when we take offerings and all of that, it's not for the pastor. It's for the work of the ministry. It's not for the pastor. If it's for the pastor, like how my brother has come from, oh, we'll fly with a helicopter and come inside. As you are seeing that, you see, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, that will land on the roof. Then you see that the offering, I'm using it. But we are very mindful of this scripture that says that people who die in the Lord, yea, said the Spirit, they may rest from their labors. Not the labor that, not the so, is that Mike Linton? It's not the gas heavy vehicle you drive. That's not the labor the Bible is talking about. And their works do follow them. Their works. So as a church, as a church, Lighthouse Chapel International, we one of the things we emphasize on is the work of the ministry. Working for God. Doing something in the church. So if you like to go to a church where you sit down and you don't do anything, this is the wrong church for you. Because that is our emphasis. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. It's like you marry a woman and then it's like, man, I don't like how she's cook. Oh, that's a woman you married. Yeah, you gotta eat the food. Jolene, are you there? So one of our emphasis is the work of the ministry. And that's why we have this book. And we are teaching you that it's because of, not even also because we want you, but it is a major part of when you stand before God. It's a major aspect. The judgment and how God is going to receive you into heaven is based on this. The Bible says that, well done, good and faithful servant. Who is a servant? A servant is somebody who is living in somebody's house and doing a particular work. Not somebody who's just sitting in a church, warming the benches. No! A servant is a worker. A servant is a laborer. And there is those type of people that God says, you are welcome. So when you sit in a church, oh, me, that's how I stay. Me won't do nothing. Me like no problems. Me won't play no fronting. Like people calling it fronting. It's like you like show. You want people to know that you're a big man or something. Don't cry. No. It's not fronting. It is because when we stand before the one who created us, we need to carry some works. And if we don't have works, he'll look at you and say, what happened to you? Why do you come here naked? Why do you come here empty? He doesn't like to see empty people. So it's not that I want to trouble you. I want to take you away from that your nice, quiet life. No. I wish I could even press a remote control and get you out of that life. You know the movie that you press the remote control? What's the name of the movie again? Click? Click? It's Click. What have you been clicking? Click. It's a click, and then I've not watched the movie fully, but I saw a preview of it when it was about to be released. And I think it was he had a wife or girlfriend or something like that, and she was talking, ah, 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 and then he pressed the remote control. Mute. And it's fantastic. You should watch the movie. It's a nice movie. I have to watch it finally, then watch it again. You have to mute it. He pressed mute, and then the woman, but there was no sound coming out of her mouth. Because the guy was sitting down relaxing. And then the woman came. We took the mute. Now I can't hear that. You know, so we want to move on and continue talking about types of workers. Are you there? Type of workers. Number one, what's the first one? Sorry? That's what we're doing on Tuesday, isn't it? Page 27. We've done number one. Number one is what? Workers who are sons and daughters. So as you you work in a church, we want all of you to work in a church. We finished talking about Pharaoh because the devil does not want you to stand before God and be praised. So he has come up with work. Jobs, shift work. Jamal, shift work at... where? No. Their new name. Where he works. They come with shift work. Sandy, Rubies. Use Rubies. Jamal works at Rubies. Are you still working there? There you stop working. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, shift, night, evening, afternoon, morning. Because Pharaoh will not let you go and serve God. But the moment you get the privilege to work, we are saying that there are types of workers. Types of workers. And you must really want to work in the Lord. You must really want to do something for God. Before you die. And we don't know when we are going to die. You know, so we should really start and decide to do something now. I'm looking for more shepherds. I'm looking for more church workers. People who will just take care of 5 or 10 people. Who will call them, visit them, encourage them to come to church every Sunday. I need more people to do that work with me. And registration is open at the information desk. Go and write your name and say, Reverend, I want to help take care of about just 5 people. All I can do is just 5 people. It's okay. If you do 5, it's okay. Somebody can do 10, you can do 5, somebody can do 20. It's all right. But what, no matter the case, you must do something. Don't sit down. Some of you, what you know from since you joined this church, the things you have learned, there are some pastors somewhere who don't know anything about what you have learned. I tell you. I tell you. And it's all over the world. It's not only in Guyana. One of our pastors went to do a program in one of the South American countries. I think it's Colombia or somewhere. He said he preached at a lady pastor's church. The woman told him that is it possible for a lighthouse to come and do the conference like weeks in her church? Because she's realized that she understands what's going on at all. If you get bishop's books, then you realize that you are not serious in the work of God. Because his emphasis, God has graced him with the emphasis of doing his work and doing it in a certain way with a certain type of mindset. Then when you look at it, you realize that the people you have and what you are doing, you're not serious. Because you cannot work in the house of the Lord and not be a son or a daughter. It's when you are a son or a daughter, your mindset about the work is very different. Everybody doing their father's business, they have a different... you don't even have a time you're closing. You're not even looking forward to even a salary. Of course, you eat, you drink, and all of that. All this salary, time, I'm tired, I don't want to. Those things don't even prop up. I mean, it doesn't come up in your mind when you're working in your father's business. Because it's your own. That's the type of mindset we're looking at. What's number two? Workers who have the same spirit as the leader. Number three, workers who work for you because they owe their whole life to you. Number four, workers who are prone to abandoning you. Some people, you work with them, before you don't see them. They walk away. They get a better offer and they run away. The world offers them nice things. The world offers us, I'm going to America. I'm going to Canada. I'm going to somewhere. I told you, we have come from there to here. So we can tell, there's a good reason why we came from there to here. And God, that's why I discourage people from migrating. And I'm not shy about that. Because if God has sent me into your life from there, then there must be a reason why you are in my life. And my experiences, I should share my experiences with you so that you will learn from them. Why should I come from Europe and come and live here and you should go to Europe? You should ask those who have gone since I came. You should ask about their life. One nice lady we have, Tanza. Tanza is from around here, Congress. She's with her husband in Amsterdam. As much as she's with her husband, you know, she's got a baby and all of that, and life is a little. She used to work at the parliament office. Do you know what it means to work at the parliament office in Guyana? When you walk around, do you know how you feel when you walk around? Ask her whether she's working in the parliament office in Holland. Even to clean there, they will not let you clean there. Even cleaning, my brother. Even cleaning. You speak the language. When you don't get speak the language, and my brother here, he speaks German. I speak Dutch. And we have left there and we are here. Richtig. Genau, richtig. And we have left there and we are here. And you say you are now going. Yeah. When Bishop is teaching some people, let my people go. You say want to go back into the system. Hey! He said, let my people go. The place where we are praying that the system will release the people for the work of God. You say, Reverend, I'm going to migrate here. I want to go there. No, there's something that you probably don't understand. Yeah, no, you should go to America. You should go to Canada. But go on a holiday. Go and take pictures, selfies. Say, Manhattan, Liberty Statue. And then come back. Yeah, honeymoon. Go, and that is what is going to happen to you. I see you going and coming, going and coming, and going and coming. That's what is going to happen. The people will be surprised that you came and you are going back. Yeah, only one week. Because they can't afford it. I was at the 90th birthday celebration in Essequibo. And a woman had come from America for the birthday celebration. She was sharing her testimony, how she managed to come. How she couldn't afford to come. And then she prayed. And then God came through for her. And then a friend gave her this. A friend gave her that. And that's how she managed to come. I said in my head, you should be ashamed of this testimony you are sharing. This is at the net. We can buy a ticket and go to America. They can buy a ticket and come. They have to believe God for a friend to be. God has to touch the heart of a friend. Even the time off to come. If they give you 1 week, you better return before the 1 week. But here, Guyana, when it starts raining like this, my house flood. I said, boss, I can't come to work today. My house flood. Now the new government has come. Houses don't flood. You should be careful. That excuse doesn't work anymore, you know. You should watch it. It used to work when Jagdeo was around. Now Jagdeo gone, flood, stop. Yeah, so Jabba is serious, man. So Jabba is serious. Them boys say. You know. So, we must work. Don't abandon us for anything. Since I came to Guyana, I've seen pastors who have left their churches and they have migrated. When I see that, I don't know how they feel, but my heart breaks. That you leave a church, you leave people. It's such a great blessing to have people, you know. One of the greatest resources in life is people. You are rich when you have people around you. Do you know? Hey! It's a great blessing. When God blessed Solomon, Solomon had 1,000 women. 1,000. Yes. With their servants, with their children, houseboys. It was such a great blessing. Have you thought about feeding 1,000 women? Even one. Even one. Jewel. Even one Jewel. It's not a simple thing to have. One Jamela. Hey. You see, in Guyana, everywhere. He had 1,000. And there was no, you see, there was nowhere in the Bible that Solomon said, I regret having. Of course, he said vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But it wasn't that he couldn't feed them or take care of them. It's a blessing. I say it's a blessing. People are your great resource. Like I say all the time, if I want to eat chicken right now, I don't have to have money. All I have to say is that I want to eat chicken. I can promise you, at least I have two people who can buy me chicken today. But chicken, is it what, hot and spicy, original? What? I mean, jack chicken. Oh, everything. I have at least two people. At least two. They say I have more than two. But there are people who, if they say they want chicken right now, people say, like me won't eat chicken. Like me too, me won't eat chicken. The answers you get, all your chicken taste will disappear. Yeah. Even your boyfriend and your girlfriend, when you tell them that you feel like eating chicken, one piece they will bring for you. One piece combo. Yeah. Kids meal. Workers who are prone to abandon you. Don't abandon the work of God for anything. Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. Number five, workers who refresh you. They refresh you. Man, they refresh you. You know, I was teaching some of the people who helped me. I said, don't ask me, would you like to drink something? Of course I would like to drink something. Just bring something and say, which one should I give you? Don't say, would you like to drink something? I said, next time you say that, I'll turn my face up. Because it's not a nice question. It's not a question of refreshment. It's, I mean, you have to know what you have. If you have to refresh somebody, don't come and say, you want to eat something? Of course you know I want to eat something. The wives and the mothers, don't ask us, you hungry? You want to eat? Please, who doesn't want to eat? I have a fish in the freezer. You want me to take it out and do something for you? No, please, let your fish be free. Leave your fish alone. Let your fish be happy. Your fish be happy in your fridge. People who refresh you, refresh you. Paul said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Workers who are servants of the church. Workers who are servants of the church. They are servants. You know, sometimes we Guyanese, we are proud. Yeah. Now, do you know that as Guyanese, or there are reasons for pride. Yeah. There are a couple of reasons why people are proud. One reason is when people have money. Trinidadians are proud because their country is somehow prosperous than our country. So they look down upon us. So when we go there, they say, them Guyanese people, they don't like to hear of us. But we in Guyana, we are proud, even though we are not rich. So when you are rich, you can be proud. When you are beautiful, or when you are handsome, you are good looking, it can also make you proud. You see, when you have a certain status, you're a diplomat, you're an ambassador, it makes you feel, money. But there's also another pride, source of pride, that there's no reason for it. There's no beauty, there's no money, there's no status, there's nothing. And the person is just proud. We call it idiopathic pride. There are some people, when you see they are proud, you want to find out, why are they proud? What makes the person proud? They don't have anything. Sometimes we don't want to do servant work. We don't want to do menial jobs. But the Bible says that there are some type of workers who serve the church. It's a type of worker. You don't have a lot of them. I know there are some people in this church, if their family is looking for them, the only place they will find them is the church. Yeah. And sometimes it's amazing how there's no church. We are here working, and then somebody come at the gate and say, I'm looking for this person. I'm wondering, why don't you go to their house and look for them? This is not the place. But you see, because they have come to realize that they work so much in the church, that if I'm looking for them, the place to go is in the church. And the church doesn't pay them. The church doesn't pay. The only person this church pays is me. That's why I have to wake up early and come and preach at 7:30 because I have to. You pay me, I have to come. Because as the rain is falling, it's nice to sleep. But I got to turn up for work. I know I can't say me house flood because you know my house doesn't flood. So I got to come. I have to come and preach. Yeah, I have to keep working. I'm the only one that the church pays. Everybody else is just doing their best for God. The church doesn't give anybody money. And I'm not shy to tell that I'm the only one the church pays. And how much can I eat? A little bit. Does the church pay you? Are you sure? Does the church pay you? Are you sure? Do you like the church to pay you? Is this a good question? Of course it's a good question. The church will pay you someday. Don't worry. Yeah. Workers who are servants of the church, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Kenkrea. So Phoebe is a name of the type of people who work as servants in the church. You can take the name Phoebe. It will make you a servant of the church because that's what the name is for. The only thing we know about the Phoebe in the Bible is that she was a servant. So you may not have the name Phoebe, but it doesn't mean that you can't be a servant of the church. You have to be like a Phoebe. Servants of the church. Morning, afternoon, evening. You see, that's why many women don't like to come and clean the church. Because it's something that is below us. It's something that is too little for me. Something that is... No. Because that's why I'm saying that sometimes we can be very, very, very proud. But there's a blessing in becoming a servant of the church. I said there's a blessing in becoming a servant of the church. Go to verse 2 and see what the apostle says. He said, he said that because Phoebe was coming to the people. Phoebe was going to Rome. He was going to the Pope's country. Pope Emmanuel. This one was Pope Francis. He was going to Pope Francis' country. He said that Phoebe is coming to you, but he's asking that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. This is the apostle's own. You see, people come to me and say, Reverend, can you give me a reference? Some of the people, I give reference because I have to give reference. But some of them, I give reference and I give it from my heart. Because if I don't give you reference, you stop coming to church. So I have to give you reference. But I mean, what I'm trying to say is that, you see, you do things for people, and for, you see, there are some people when you're doing things for them, yeah, it comes from somewhere deeper, because of what they mean to you. Is that not so? Yeah. Don't you have people in our lives, Elizabeth? Is that not so? Your child, as you're feeding your child, if you have to feed your husband, you say, bye, go to the kitchen. Your food in the pot. But from the child, if the child is not eating, say, oh, why are you not eating? But if we don't eat, you don't care. So when he's hungry, he will come and eat. He said, you will receive her in the Lord as becometh of saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for she has been a helper. Sukora, a new word you must learn. A helper, somebody who anchors me, somebody who has been my refuge, my support, my help. Sukora of many, and of myself also. Jesus, the apostle said, if I look at Phoebe and what she has done for many people and for me, as she's coming to you, please, treat her well. Apostle's reference, signed by Apostle Paul. Now, if you see Apostle Paul, the letter that, take care of Joel Norville. Who are you to say, who is she? Okay, who is she? You know, you of yourself, you will not refuse it. Like I said, by the grace of God, if I go to a particular bank and I see a particular person, I just walk straight to the counter. Like I was there before, and they asked me to go and bring something else, and I've come again. Yeah, and the person tells me, you don't have to be in a line. I said, this is a very smart woman. Because look at me, why should I be in a line? Look at me, look at me. Look at me. Why should I be in a line? Yeah. And if I come to Mercy Hospital, the best bed. You see, I'm not coming there for now. I don't know when I'll come there, but I don't want to come there. Should old age catch up with me? And I have to come there. Ho. Oh. Please, don't. Please. Okay, Georgetown. If I go to Georgetown. I hope they have private rooms in Georgetown. You have private rooms at Georgetown? You're building one. You build one because I'm coming. Ah, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whichever doctor, whatever, they must call them. Hey. Yeah. No. I mean, you must have people like that. If you see any church member coming to where you do something, try and push them through. Especially the ones who are hard workers. Not them lazy ones who come around. Tell them that we don't help lazy people. When you see them in the line, look up. Me see she. I do me walk. Me see she. Jonathan. I don't know whether I can do a recommendation for you if you are going somewhere. The way you've been sleeping in my service every morning. I'm not sure. Because of the person being a servant of the church, look at the recommendation. Yeah. It's fantastic. You can ask my brother. We are so blessed to be in Lighthouse Chapel that you can ask him. All he has to do is get to the airport. He'll be picked up. How can I charge him for accommodation? Even because he's coming, I have to change the food in my house. Yeah, because my brother is coming. If I was you know, a little tight because of one or two things, say, hey, Charlie, my brother is coming. Chicken, fish, pork, beef, everything. Because when he comes, I don't want him to say, oh, Charlie, what would you like to eat? Oh, I feel like eating some chicken. I said, mean, get chicken. you want a sausage? I got sausage. So fish. And then when he wants some juice to drink, I say, me, I got swank. heaven. I have to do my best. Why? Even if I don't even like him or anything, because of the name Lighthouse Chapel International, because of Bishop Doug Heward Mills, because he is part of Bishop's life, I have to do something more. That's the thing. That's the thing. As long as you are a pastor in Lighthouse Chapel, you can travel the world without worry. Yeah, I like that. What's story of a business? Whether it's private, whether it's church, whatever it is. Once you are pastor of Lighthouse Chapel International, I tell you, all we have to do is that. Oh, you know what? Now, if you are going to Virgin Islands, British Virgin Islands, my brother is there. All I have to do is that, Charlie, Jonathan is coming. He used to sleep in my church, but you know, he's a very good boy. He's coming. He's coming to have a convention. Yeah. That's how you do it. That's the reward of people who serve. I see you serving in the name of Jesus. Number seven, quickly as we close. I mean, I've been preaching this on Tuesday. Just wanted to continue. Couple, you know, we do couples because most of us are not couples. Hard working workers. Showing hard work. Some people lazy. People think that it's only when you are working for money that you have to work hard. No. It is God. The Bible says that we are his people. It is he who has made us and not we of ourselves. Psalm 100. It is he who has made us and not we of ourselves. He said that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Whatever we are able to do, however we're able to do it, Mike, it's God who makes it possible. It's God who makes it possible. So if I'm doing something for God, I have to do it. The Bible says, whatever the hand findeth to do, do it with all your mind. Greet Mary. We have a Mary here. Lady Pastor Mary. Mary, she works hard though. Lady Pastor Mary. She works very, very, very hard. I tell you. She's a hard worker. Praise and worship. She's pastoring. She's doing well. And then she's studying too. She's doing a postgraduate at the university also. You know what postgraduate is? Yeah. She has children. She has a husband. Her husband is a professor. Okay. Hard working woman. Children. She's a wife. All kinds of things though. But she's here doing Mary's work hard though. Yeah. You should change your name to Mary. I said, you change your name. Mona Lisa. Maybe you should change your name to Mary. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. On us. Hardworking workers. I tell you, there are some people I don't have to. I think one day I asked them, where are you? The person said, oh, where else? There are some people that I don't have to ask where they are. I know right after their work, I know where to find them. Monday to Monday. Yeah, Monday to Monday. I don't have to. I just say, where are you? There are some of you have to ask, where have you been? We don't even see. We don't even know your whereabouts. Whether you are lost, whether you are missing, whether somebody has killed you. In fact, it's true. There are some church members and church workers. They will die. You don't even know until after it's in the news. Yeah. Like this guy, he just got lost the other day. We discovered him. We discovered that something was wrong with him. Not true?
Yes, sir.
I thought Calvin would have dealt with you. I'll deal with him if he doesn't deal with you. Because the person is around, he's helping. He's changing. That's a prophecy about your life. You're changing. You have changed. Yeah. So people they are around, they work, and then something. I said, no, that's not how they are. Something is wrong. Yeah. Labor. Work this, that in the church. Many of you don't know what happens in the church. Oh, you see, it's light. I'll show you, my brother, pictures of this place. I'll show you very soon. I'll show you a picture of this place. You will not believe this is the place. Even though it's not state of the art, like some people call their places. It's not state of the art, but it has changed. It has been transformed. Sister Donette can tell you. She's lived around here for many years. She can tell you, this used to be a big teeth dancing hall. There was a girl on this part of the wall in her panties and brazier dancing like that. There was a picture here. We had to paint it off. Yeah, we when we paint it, then it doesn't go. We have to paint it there. About 4 coats we had to put on the woman. Yeah, there was one who was also squatting like that. Pants and brazier. Somewhere here, I tell you. You should have been here to see. Hard-working workers. Because you know that you are doing it for the Lord. You know that there's God who can only reward you. Nobody can reward you for the work you do. I cannot reward you. The church cannot reward you. You are too precious for some 20,000, 30,000. It can't be a reward. What is $20,000? What is $30,000? What money can reward you? I prefer God to reward me. I prefer God to say, you know what, this is my reward for you, than to look for reward here on earth and from people. So I'll work hard. I'll not look at people. I'll not be affected by what is going on. I will work hard. I want to be called a hard-working worker. Yeah. Oh. You don't know the things we do. From one thing to the other. So sometimes you go home late. You have to wake up in the morning and go, this world is run by tired people. I was talking to one teacher. I was looking for her. She works in a church, And I was looking for her. I couldn't find her. When I found her, she said, I was at the ministry for a meeting. I said, but so you're in a meeting, you couldn't even answer my call. He said, you know, we were in a discussion. And then she told me that the people in the ministry, they said they leave the government work ministry at 9 o'clock. Wow. Yeah. So it's not that this 4:30, 4:35 people. They are there till 9 p.m. Ministry of whatever. You're not the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry of something. They are there till 9 p.m. Yeah. And I'm sure they turn up the next morning for work. They don't say, oh, yesterday I did overtime, so today I sleeping a little bit. No, they wake because what they couldn't finish last night, they have to go and finish it. They have to go and finish it. I see you working hard for the Lord. Stand to your feet, my time is up. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. I pray that you turn us into workers that you'll be proud and you'll be pleased with. Thank you for speaking to us this morning in Jesus' name. You are here, you are not saved, you are not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.